you will, turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 3, and we'll be coming out of Acts chapter 3 tonight. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Starts out with a miracle. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man, a man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter and John said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you speak to our hearts from this. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that will open their heart, I pray that you will just touch them in a very special way. Lord, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The Bible says this man was lame, and he was carried and laid by a beautiful gate. The gate was probably one of the most beautiful of all the gates, brass covered with gold. And imagine when the morning light shined upon the gate, how it must have glistened in the sun. Surely it was a beautiful sight. But I don't want to focus on the gate tonight so much as we do the man. See, the Bible tells us this man was lame from his mother's womb. The Bible says he was a cripple from birth. Now, in that word cripple, I see all kinds of sad things. I see a man that had never been able to get up and walk, had to have someone carry him day after day after day. I see a man that never got to do what a person would do. I see a young boy, a child born to his mother and father. And, you know, it must have been something we all have so high of hope when we see our child and our children. And yet when this young man never developed the strength in his legs, it must have been a sorrow for that young mother and that young father. His legs had no strength, the Bible says. His parents never saw. You know, it's a special occasion when we see that first step, isn't it? It's a very special occasion when we're able to see our children, our grandchildren, step out and start crawling. I just love to see them, how they motor down the hallway or wherever. They learn to pull up on things, and then they learn to take that first step after they get their balance. Now, when you think about this, it's a really sad story. I think about a young man who grew up, and he was never able to do what the other children would do. He would never be able to play ball. He'd never be able to play soccer. He'd never be able to run and romp through town. His parents would never be able to see that. Yet as a man, we think about a man. He could not work, could he? The Bible says he was carried every day to this gate Beautiful. And he couldn't get around. In those days, if you couldn't get around, you had to ask for a handout. It was his only way of making it through society, is someone had to give him something in order for him to make enough to have something to eat. So it was really a sad situation. Now the Bible uses various diseases to describe spiritual things. One word is leprosy. When we hear about leprosy in the Bible, we think about sin. We think about corruption, don't we? Of sin, how sad it is in a life. when we talk about blindness, we see a person is in that darkness of all his life. But when we talk about lameness, we talk about a sin maybe in the heart, a heart condition. And this man, I believe, if you look at this crippled, the Bible talks about sin, I believe, in the individual's heart, because we find out that he has not received Jesus Christ into his life. And Peter and John says, you know, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, you can be made whole. Now, as a cripple, this man was really a sad situation. But he reflects upon our life, too, for you know what? We're all crippled at birth, aren't we? We have a disease called sin. Every single one of us. We've heard testimonies tonight about how sin's in our life. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have that sin nature in our life. We are born with it because we're born after Adam, and because Adam sinned, that sin is passed down to all mankind. And the Bible says every one of us, when we look at our life, we have to realize that we fall short of what God intended us to be. You see, when Adam fell, the whole human race fell, for it says in Romans 5:12, for as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death was passed to all men. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is what? Death. And this is what David meant when he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, we're born sinners. And if you look at it, sin cripples every single life. Sin cripples us emotionally. Sin cripples us morally. Sin cripples our lives spiritually. And it renders our life like this man. We're really beggars. Beggars out there at a beautiful gate. And the only thing that can fill our emptiness in our lives is Jesus Christ. The only thing that makes us whole again. I love that old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sin cripples our life. Not only that, sin cripples our family's lives. You take a father that's living in sin, and even though his children are saved, or even though his wife may be saved, it still affects that family. It cripples those situations that we live in. And sin will turn us into a spiritual cripple if we continue on in sin. Now notice his total dependence. This man can't do anything. He's carried every day. Somebody has to pick him up and tote him to that gate and lay him down there, and he's there to beg. A sorrowful condition, one of a beggar. Now let me say this. We must never get so caught up in the beauty of the gate that we forget to see the sinners that are there. Folks, a lot of times when we come to church, we're wooed, I don't guess you could use that word, by the music. We're in awe of the piano playing. I know I love piano music. And when Kern comes, I know I will love that. But we're never to let all the trimmings, I would say, of the church, beautiful churches. Man, I've been in some beautiful churches. They're decorated. They've got everything, you know, you could ever want. But we must never let that get in the way of our seeing the sinners in the lost world as we go out those doors. And so many times, that's exactly what happens. We're so in awe about the beauty of the gate that we forget about the cripples around them. Just think how many times we walk past cripples every day and we never mention the name of Jesus Christ to them. Sad, isn't it? It's sad on our part. We know that if they die, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. We know that Jesus Christ is the answer to that sin they've got in their life. We know He's the cure. We know that they'll have eternal life. We know that He's the great physician that can heal their problems, yet we do not see them as cripples. And we do not mention to them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the man. That's the man that's there at the Gate Beautiful. That's the man's life. He's there. He's a beggar. He's spiritually without Christ. He needs help. He needs help. Now, let's look just a moment at the miracle. Now, there's some people today that don't believe in miracles. I'm not one of them. I still believe God operates this world, and I still believe God performs miracles. I've seen miracles in my life. I've seen miracles in other people's life. But let me tell you, the Christian faith is a miracle religion. Amen? We've got the miracle of the virgin birth, folks. That's nothing else but God, the sinless life of Jesus Christ, His sacrificial death on the cross, His resurrection power, His coming back. It's all a miracle, miraculous faith. And our Christian lives are wrapped around the miracles of Jesus Christ. Now here in this story is a man lame by birth, never walked a step in his life. And look at verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look upon us." Now let me tell you something. If you just look at that passage of Scripture, that verse of Scripture says a whole lot. Now what does it say to you? Think about it just a moment. And fixing his eyes on him. I believe this man's laying at the temple gate. They see him laying there. It tells me that Peter and John's got their eyes upon Jesus Christ. They've come to the temple. They've come to the temple the ninth hour to pray. They've come there with something on their mind, Jesus Christ. But they take time. If it'd been me and you know what we'd have done? We'd have said, "I ain't got time right now, man. I got to go to church." Amen? That's me. Sad to say. Man, I'm in a hurry. Passed Walmart a while ago. Went down to fill up gas. The man standing to me, I know he was lost by the way he acted. If he wasn't, shame on him. Because he sure wasn't leading people to the Lord. But you know what? I passed him by. I didn't say a word to him because I was in a hurry to get to church. I don't think Peter and John was that way. Matter of fact, Peter stopped and said, "Listen, fella, look at us. Look at us." And I'm glad they say that. Because you know what? You and I represent Jesus Christ out there. And it reminds me that wherever I go, I ought to take time to say, "Hey, if you want to see Jesus Christ, look at me." I don't have to cuss. I don't have to tell a dirty joke. I don't have to, swear at my wife or children because of Jesus Christ in my life. And whether we say it or not, or whether we know it or not, people are looking at your life. They're looking at your life, especially when tragedy hits. Because they want to say, "Well, let's just see how really God is active in his life or not." It's in those crises we face in life when people really see if we say what we believe or if we walk and talk what we believe. And Peter says, "Listen, fella, look on me." And I just imagine the man looked at him, expecting, well, he's fixing to give me something. That's what we'd have been expecting, wouldn't we? When we're laying there begging for alms, and a guy says, wait a minute, look at us. I'd been sticking out my bucket there to put some money in it. But he didn't say that. Peter said, listen, silver and gold have I none. He had the right. He had the right, I believe, to expect something. If you're begging and you're lost and a man tells you, hey, look at me, don't you have the right to expect something? I think by his words, he was saying, listen, I'm fixing to do something for your life. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have is better than that. You see, he was looking for the material, and John and Peter didn't have the material, but they had what he really needed. And, you know, the world may not want what we have, but what we have is what they really need. Amen? Every day people come into this church. I don't know if you know it or not, but this church, every day people come up here and they're wanting something. And you know, a lot of times we don't give them the money, but we ought to always share that we have Jesus Christ we can give them. And they're always welcome in this church because Jesus is what they need. You see, Peter was poor but rich towards Jesus Christ. And that's the way we may be. We ought to be poor in spirit but rich toward Jesus Christ. People come looking for a temporary relief. And people in the world come every day, but what they need, what will satisfy their misery, is Jesus Christ. I heard several testify. Once they had Jesus Christ in their life, man, everything was great. And that's me. I don't know about you, but once I received Jesus Christ, I'm like Teddy. Man, I am a double-dip Christian. I still like to double-dip. Every time I go to Brahms, I say, give me a double-dip. But you know what? They ought to be able to see something different. We ought to be able to give them some relief. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none. And I don't think Peter was apologizing that he didn't have any money. But he's saying, brother, I have something better than a handout to give you. What I have to give you is going to be a lasting relief for the rest of your life. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you know what? There's authority, there's power in the name of Jesus. We sing about that a lot of times. You know, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in that name of Jesus. You know, I've watched it overseas. I've seen how Jesus Christ heals people. I think he'll do the same thing right here. And when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, a miracle takes place in this man's life. Now, remember something about the New Testament. Miracles were called signs in the New Testament. And miracles point to a deeper, or a sign or a miracle point to a deeper, deeper truth. Now, the greater work is what Christ can do in your heart and in your life. You see, we may be crippled by sin. And if we're lost, we have been crippled by sin. Sin may hinder your life. And a lot of times we let sin hinder our life. But Christ is the only one that can lift you up from the lameness and put you on your feet again. You see? He can, I know he's pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet back on the solid rock. And I'm not perfect, and I'm like Teddy. I saw Cynthia over there shaking his head. I'm not perfect, and Rhonda probably shakes her head. She knows. But let me tell you something. Christ is always the center of my thoughts and my life. And when I fall short, I'll be the first to admit it. Hey, I'm not perfect. I need picking back up. And the only one that really can do that is God. You see, I thank you for your encouragement. and everything like this. I thank you for your prayers. But folks, that is the word that we have for people. We have the miracle of Jesus Christ in our life as saved, born-again believers, and we need to share that miracle with those who are in misery out there in the world, those who are hurting. So we see the man here in verse 3, or in this passage of chapter 3, and we see the miracle that takes place. But what I really like is the message that Peter gives. You see, if you read this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture. It would take a long time to read that passage of Scripture, especially my reading. But there's a message here. The miracle wasn't the main thing. The miracle was great, but it just set the stage for the message. And folks, that's what Jesus Christ did many times. He worked those miracles to set the stage for the message. You see, the main thing in this passage of Scripture is not that the man got up and walked. The main thing was the preaching of the word of Jesus. And it always will be the main thing. Jesus is preached, people come to know him. Every time the word is preached, the word goes out. And I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring people's hearts right now in this building tonight. You may not know it. It may not be in your life. But I believe there's somebody that hears that message and knows that the Holy Spirit is there talking to them, and they need to make a decision for Christ. It always helps to have a miracle and then preach the message. Now, how many of you have been saved? Raise your hand. All right, that's a bunch of people. Just about everybody in here, raise your hand. I am surrounded tonight, literally, by miracles. Because you couldn't have got saved unless Jesus Christ worked a miracle in your life. And when Peter immediately begins to preach Jesus Christ, look what he preached. He preached, I like it, verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who was begging at the gate beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people and said, "Men of Israel," now that's about the second time that he's done this, "why do you marvel at this man walking around? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? It's not us," he says, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus." And then he goes right down through there saying, "who you delivered up to be crucified on the cross." And he preached Jesus Christ. Man, he preached. And whenever you start preaching like that, brother, people listen. Whenever they started, he said, "and you," they knew he was pointing to them. "You delivered him up to be crucified on the cross. Boy, but you denied the Holy One and the Just One and asked for a murderer." Man, that puts the shoe on pretty tight, don't it? What if he'd been preaching here tonight and he'd have told you, "you're the one crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. You nailed the nails in his hands," you see? Man, it leaves no room to, "you killed the Prince of Life. God raised him up, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong." The miracle is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has done this. He's the one that made him walk. Oh, man. Have you ever faced the fact that your sins and my sins are the one that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross? Folks, when I see myself as the one, it breaks my heart. I did that. He died for me. And I didn't deserve that. And when we understand that it was our sins that Jesus Christ went to the cross for, it makes me want to just throw my arms around him and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Folks, that's a miracle. Verse 20 is a promise of Jesus, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Boy, Peter has preached the word of God. You know what? He preaches Jesus is going to one day return. Jesus, you killed, but God raised him up. And one day, he says, he will return. So what are you must do? He says, you must repent. You must repent in verse 19, therefore, and be converted. You must change your ways, he said. You know, wouldn't you like to walk out of here tonight being changed? Wouldn't you like to do that? Singing I like that version of Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. You know, that's the way I felt that night I walked down, it was a night that I walked down by faith and stepped out by faith and gave my life to the Lord. It was just like all the chains on me were gone. I've been set free. I was set free from the doubt. I was set free from the sin. His blood washed all that away. I said the other day that, you know, or said this morning, it wasn't the other day, man. I said this morning, when we sin in our life, we grieve God, it breaks that joy at relationship. And the old devil, it gives room for the devil to come in when we do that. He doesn't control, he doesn't take over our life. God's there. But when we're living in sin, or we're doing sinful things, and we're not growing, it does make us feel like we've lost our salvation. You know? Even though we hadn't, it kind of makes us feel like that. Because we're living in sin, folks. And it grieves God. And he's not going to bless our life. It ought to hurt our lives. It ought to make us say, why, God, did we do this? You know, Peter says, repent. Turn it around. You can walk out of here tonight with that calm assurance in your life. Knowing that your chains are gone, you've been set free from that doubt, that sin in your life, and you can say, I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. Do I believe in miracles? Yes, I believe in miracles. Jesus has forgiven me. Salvation is a supernatural miracle only performed by Jesus Christ. And as I look around this beautiful building at all the hands that went up a while ago that said that you were saved, man, I saw a lot of miracles in this room. But if you couldn't raise your hand, if you could not raise your hand, or maybe you didn't want to be left out and you just slipped up your hand and anyhow, but you know in your heart you're lost. You know in your heart that you've never received Jesus Christ. There's never been that time in your life where you just said, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Then let me introduce you to Jesus tonight. He's the one you need. He can set you free. He can get you up and get you walking again. He wants to work in your life. He wants to bless you. Don't let the devil rob you of that. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the man. Lord, that reminds us that we're all crippled by sin. Lord, I thank you for the miracle that you perform day after day in our lives just by saving us, by keeping us, watching over us. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here, Lord, that heard the message that they need Christ, that they realize that sin is there in their life and they need to get it right, whether they've never been saved or whether they're already saved, they just need to come down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you so much. Lord, whatever decision we need to make in our life, let us do it so that we can have revival in our own heart. And God, we know that you'll bless us. For it's in your name that we ask these things. The name of Jesus. Amen.